This week in your parents' basement, we are saving Princess Zelda from Ganon by using our sword, our bombs, our silver arrows, and our hearts. It's a fantastic episode 100 celebration as we play the classic Legend of Zelda for the Nintendo behind Nintendo. I'm Steve Greenwell, and I know it's dangerous to go alone, so I've taken along co-host Todd Brisket with me this week.
Oh, well, excuse me, Princess.
Oh, God, that thing. And our other co-host, he knows what's a secret to everybody. It's Teal Hauser.
Eastmost Peninsula is the secret.
Oh. You can reach us by email at parentsbasementpodcast@gmail.com and follow us on Twitter and Facebook. If you like the show, be sure to subscribe to it on iTunes and give us some stars. Also, please support the show by using our Amazon click-through link at www.ypbpodcast.com. Today's show isn't sponsored by anybody. So today we're playing The Legend of Zelda from 1987. Way back when, the first game a young Steve Greenwell owned was, well, it was Super Mario Brothers, and it came with Duck Hunt and Track Meet. But the second game he can remember owning is the classic Legend of Zelda, which came out with a fancy, blinged-out gold finish on the cart itself. Despite being released ages ago, this is a massive side-scrolling adventure game. You play as Link, and you need to collect the pieces of the Triforce, saving Princess Zelda at the end after vanquishing the thief-slash-pig lord, Ganon. I did manage to beat this game as a kid thanks to a huge amount of time on my hands and plenty of access to strategy guides and Nintendo Power. Replaying it this week, though, my memory was not as good. And how'd you do on this one, Todd?
This is, fellas, the intro, the introduction to one of the greatest game series of all time.
Oh, yes.
And not only that, it actually does, it holds up decently, you know, in modern times. This is the first deep story-driven.
Don't say it.
Action adventure. Adventure game where you play a role there. As Link.
Yes, that is an accurate description.
Anyway, this is my introduction to the expansive world of video games. I had my Marios, I had my Duck Hunts, as you said. I had my Gyro Mites and my Excite Bikes. But this is the one that told me a story could take place here. You can explore. Oh. This is Lord of the Rings.
Expand your items and your life. Your life.
Yeah,
so
and not only that, like you mentioned, it comes in the gold cartridge, which that blew my mind as a kid. My brains were all over the floor whenever I saw that gold cart.
Do you guys think if this came in a normal gray cartridge, it would be the huge series that it is today?
I'm sure. I think that plays a huge factor in it.
Yeah, it's kind of like the mythology. It like makes you think it's special. Which it is, of course, but it elevates it just a little bit more.
I mean, it's a Nintendo game by Nintendo, so I feel like it probably would have done well regardless.
Mm-hmm.
But that gold cart is awesome.
Exactly.
So, it certainly didn't hurt, and I'm kind of, I don't know, the games are disc based now, but they didn't really do that with a ton of games. It was Zelda. I think there's like a couple N64 games with different colors.
Yeah,
like Donkey Kong was yellow.
I mean, besides all the third-party ones, like I have a light blue Bible Adventures cartridge. But that's not an official Nintendo game. But
I'm sure we all did.
The official Nintendo games, they don't really stray. That's either a gray cart. Or on Nintendo, it was gold. I think the Zelda 2 was silvery gold, right? More silver.
Silvery.
Yeah. And then on the Nintendo 64, they had the Ocarina, as you say.
Mm-hmm.
I think they release a limited version?
It was, yeah, like the first run or like pre-orders only were gold, and then most of them were gray. But then Majora's Mask, they were all gold.
Mm.
And they also had a hologram front, which was cutting edge technology.
And Turok was black.
He was talking about the cartridge. Native American. He was
the
American.
Cartridge. The cartridge.
Oh.
Yeah.
That makes more sense.
I think there was
the colors,
blue.
The colors are.
There was a blue one too. I just don't remember what it was for N64.
I'm remembering blue one. Yes.
Oh. It was either Rare or Nintendo. It was like first or second party.
Might have been a Banjo-Kazooie or something like that.
Nah. But Steege is right. Donkey Kong 64 was yellow. Because.
Oh.
Bananas.
Well, also, I think there was a red cart.
Possibly.
I'm glad
all great trivia about Zelda.
Yeah. I'm glad we got that out of the way.
Yes,
it looks like quite a few games actually had red cards.
Hmm.
All-Star Baseball 2001. The hell? Well,
that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. And Rocket something. Anyways. Yeah, Zelda. This is Zelda's a pretty good game, guys.
Yeah, I just say this may come as a surprise because of my intense fandom. But I've never played the first Zelda as a child. I never played or ever beat it now. I've never completed this game.
Mm.
The first in the series that I love so dearly.
If you have not played it and beat it as a kid, it's very tough to get into and beat as an adult.
This is very hard. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot to like here, but if you don't have any kind of guide or map, you have no idea what to do.
Yeah, this it suffers from the Castlevania 2 syndrome, where it's just do this random thing at a random place and you'll get through.
Yeah, and good luck. Yeah, so
well,
I started it up this week because I played it in the past on an emulator and I got lost and I was just like, this doesn't seem fun. So I actually did find the first dungeon myself playing it this week, and I beat the first dungeon and I got my boomerang. And then from there, I was completely lost. So I did end up looking at a guide, and I beat the second dungeon. And I said, that's probably enough.
I mean, you got it right. It's just more of the same. In that you go to a new place, you get a new item or two. It'll help you get to another new place. But that's that is the formula of these Zelda games down to the modern day.
Yeah, at least in later ones, you have like dialogue and stuff that at least points you in the right direction. Even if they don't like hold your hand, they at least say, go over here and then maybe you'll find something. But in this first one, it's very basic. Like, you have access to almost the entire map right off the bat, so you could wander off somewhere you're not supposed to be and you get killed pretty easily by like 18 blue octo rocks. You're like, I probably shouldn't be here right now. Like, that's about the only guidance you get.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty intense.
Yeah, I was replaying this game this week, and frankly, the combat to me it's pretty easy for the most part. Like, some of the later dungeons have some tougher enemies, especially if you don't upgrade your sword and find better defense items. I just hit like brick walls. Because I could not remember where the labyrinths were, like where some of the dungeons were.
Right.
And it gets worse because like half of the entrances you have to bomb open, I believe.
Right.
And there's, it's not like the Link to the Past Zelda 3, at least has discolored walls and that kind of stuff, so you know where to bomb. In this game, like every once in a while, a wall looks like it has a crack in it, but that's about it.
Yeah, I was looking at a guide, like I said before, and you can actually get two more hearts right off the bat without even going through dungeons. And one of them's just like in a wall that you would have no other indication that you need to bomb it, except if you already knew that you should bomb it. So I think you were right, Steege. Like you said, you read like Nintendo Powers and like other guides and stuff. Yes. I mean, that was a big thing in this era, so I don't know how anyone could have gotten through the entire thing without some sort of guide or something.
Yeah, well, I mean, you could beat it eventually just wandering around, but you wouldn't get all your hearts or all your items.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no. Yeah, I guess wandering around you could eventually find all the dungeon entrances, but it'd be pretty hard.
I mean, the only kind of saving grace is that I will say I did have the manual and map growing up.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And for this game, it actually was pretty important. So,
I mean, might I add, you say this cartridge is made of gold. I say this manual is made of gold. Mm.
It is.
This is a golden manual.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we said in the past, what is the best example of a good good old school manual? And this is up there.
Yeah, I remember. It's a little. Mario 2 had a good one, but this one I think might be a little better than that.
I would say this one's maybe a little too long. It's about 40 pages, a little over 40 pages. So that might be a little bit too long, but otherwise, it hits all the sweet spots of a good game manual.
Such as
a lot of good artwork.
Well, it's got the intro story. As Todd said, there's side artwork.
Mm-hmm.
There is a listing of items.
Yes, very important.
A listing of enemies. That's always a favorite. Mm-hmm. And just a few hints and tips.
Oh.
That's basically the bullet points of any good manual.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I actually just shared in the chat we have for this a copy of the map, which, you know, as a kid, I imagine this is how I found the labyrinths. Because I'm looking at the map right now, and it does tell you, you know, where level 2 is, where level 4 is, that kind of thing. And it kind of set the template for all the future games in that, you know, most of the time to get to the later stages, you had to go to the earlier dungeons. Like, I think the raft to get to level 4 is in level 3's dungeon.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you need a ladder to get to level 5 or level 6, I think, and that's in the level 4 dungeon, etc. Right. So
that is a hard staple of the entire series.
Mm-hmm.
Is you start off basic, in the first dungeon you get some sort of new item or weapon. That helps you get to the second dungeon that gets you some new item or weapon. Unless you get to the third. Mm-hmm. So like you build up by getting new items and stuff. And for some reason that just tickles the sweet spot of old Huel's gaming brain.
Mm-hmm.
Cause you can see something. You're like, you might see the entrance to level 5. You're like, how do I even get here? What do I do? I can't get there.
Mm-hmm.
There must be something that I need. And lo and behold, you eventually find that thing.
Oh, that you need.
You do to get there. Yeah. It's true.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's good.
But yeah, as an avid Zelda series player, it's amazing how many similarities there are that have perpetuated themselves throughout the rest of the games.
Mm-hmm.
Like a lot of similar enemies. Like they still have goddamn bats, which they call keys, which show up in almost every game. They have the spidery things, the tectites.
Mm-hmm.
Still some Octoroks, a lot of moblins. They show up every once in a while. Things like that.
But there's some classic enemies in this game.
Classic.
And I do have a list of all of them in the game, and we should run
this
through.
Oh, please.
Right, and they're in alphabetical order here for you, right?
Oh.
We got Armos.
Yep.
We got Darknut. That's one of my favorite names.
Of course.
Darknut.
Darknut.
We all
what is that one?
What is that one?
Yeah.
That's the in the dungeons, he has a shield and sword in full armor, and you can only hit him from the side.
Oh, is that the red one or the blue one?
They're both called Dark Nut.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
I think it's supposed to be Knight, but might have been a translation problem.
Could be, yeah.
Just possible.
We also have Gel.
Mm-hmm.
We have Guinea or Genie or Jenny.
Genie, perhaps?
Genie.
Don't think that's Guinea. It's definitely not Guinea.
We have, that's the ghost in the cemetery. We have
yes.
Gibdo, the mummy.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That was my favorite enemy to defeat as a kid. That and the accordion-looking things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the that is the like-like, right?
Yes.
Yes.
The ones that eat you?
They were a bitch in Nocturne at a time.
Yeah, yeah. We have Gorilla. Gorilla. And we have Keese, as Huel mentioned,
mm-hmm.
which are the bats. Yep. We have Lanmola, which is a worm thing. We have Lever, which is the one that is on the sandy beaches that goes into the ground and pops up and down.
They are terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We have Lionel, which is a centaur guy.
Mm-hmm. He throws swords.
With swords, worst, yeah.
Worst overworld enemy.
Yes.
And we have Moblins.
Oh, yes.
Octoroks, the classic Octoroks. They shoot boulders at you. Patra, which is a floating eyeball thing.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, another good name one here. The Pea Hat.
Oh, pea hats.
They fly around and land for a little while and take off again.
They are annoying.
One of my favorites here, Pole's voice.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
He doesn't like a certain sound.
Mm-hmm.
Rope, which is, I guess that's the literal translation of snake.
Yes. Rope.
Stalfos the skeleton.
Yes, old Skelly Bones.
Old Skelly Bones.
Mr. Skeletal.
Got Tektites. We got Vire. Maybe that's a vampire translation.
Yeah.
Wallmaster, which is the hand that comes out of the
walls. Oh, that's the hand. The hand is also perpetuated itself.
Yeah. Wizrobe.
Mm-hmm.
Zol, which is a giant blob, a giant gel. Zora, which is the water guys that shoot fireballs at you.
Well, according to the manual, it is Zola, so that could be a possible racist translation.
Ooh, possible racist translation there, yeah. River Zoras. Oh, no.
Because they're called Zoras in later games.
Yeah.
And they're actually an ally later on.
And then
they shoot.
Yeah, they're annoying. Little, they're just little I mean, they're not bad. They're just annoying.
Yeah. Well, they're bad. They shoot you. They try to murder you.
We got the bosses in this one.
Mm-hmm.
We have Aquamantus, which is the dragon guy.
Yes. Oh yeah, classic dragon.
The classic dragon. We got Dodongo.
Mm-hmm.
Feed him some bombs.
Classic dinosaur.
We got this is a good one here. The Manhandler. Which is a giant plant. We got the Gliok or the Gliok or the Glick Gluk. Which is a Hydra type thing.
Yep.
The Dig Dogger, which is a giant eyeball.
Mm-hmm.
The Goma, which is a giant Tektite.
Spider thing.
Yeah. And Patra is another boss, the Flying Eyeball boss, and then Ganon.
Oh. Good old Ganon.
A lot of great names in the Zelda series.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yeah, a lot of them do get reused. Which is not a bad thing.
Todd, did you beat this one as a kid?
I did, but not, you know, I didn't have as much patience as a kid for this one. I enjoyed it. I loved it. It was a good game. But at a certain point, I had to pop in the old Game Genie to beat a dungeon or two.
Oh.
Oh.
But yeah, so I did beat it, but just not the real way.
Not the real way. The Todd way. The Game Genie expert.
The cheater way.
Exactly.
You know, I play the games more for the story, not for the punishment.
Right, of course.
This one has quite the story. Like, you got old ladies and random men in caves telling you, like, two-liners and...
A lot of letters, a lot of candles.
Yeah. Yep.
All the most exciting things.
It's not as, like, Zelda 2, that has way more cryptic stuff. But, you know, this game has a lot of fun stuff, like the monster that just goes hungry. What's he go? Like, grumble, grumble, grumble. That means that you need to feed him.
Exactly. So what else could it mean?
Well, it's weird because he just looks like every other monster that you, like, easily kill throughout this game. But then that one, for some reason, you have to feed. So, I don't know. They're a little confusing about that sometimes. Anyways, just to go through the history on this one a little bit. So I don't think they made any Zelda games after this one, but I might be misremembering. It's definitely a series that Nintendo should come back to.
So. Huh. Well, it's funny you mentioned that, because I have my own personal rankings of games you may not have ever heard of, because you don't seem to know they made a lot of these.
Oh, I know they made they made Zelda 2 and Zelda 3, because I owned those as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And then one for the Game Boy, and then the series is dead to me. I don't know what happened to it.
Oh, that's weird. That's
weird.
They
might want to. They should. Nintendo should go back to this one.
Huh. Well, do I have news for you? Because here are Huel's official Zelda game rankings.
Ooh, let's see how inaccurate.
So, well, let's find out. Because, disclaimer, I do not have Zelda 2, Link's Adventure, because I never played it. Nor do I have most of the Game Boy games, which include Link's Awakening, Spirit Tracks, Four Seasons, or whatever, and something else. So, here we go. Should I go bottom to top? I'm going to go top to bottom. Because number one, without a doubt, is Link to the Past.
Okay, good. Excellent choice.
That culminates the best of the series. Like, that is the game that represents the series the best, in my opinion. And I might add, I forgot to mention, Steege, you called this a side-scrolling game, which is horribly inaccurate.
I meant to say something about that.
You said that right from the top. You said, "And Legend of Zelda is a side-scroller, but it is a top-down...
It is an overhead...
Overhead view. Controlling. Link 2 was a side-scroller, if I'm not mistaken. And
I don't know.
There is, like, a side-scrolling screen inside this game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's what I
but you also scroll up and down. It's all over the place. So anyway, Link to the Past, it is the best representation of the top-down view, which is the classic view. Number two, hard to argue, Ocarina of Time, N64, which was my favorite until I finally played Link to the Past. Number three?
I would slot another one in there that you have not played, though. That you haven't played. It's on your have-not-played.
Link's Awakening?
Link's Awakening, yes.
Really?
That'd be my number two.
I played it a bit as a Ute. I found it extremely difficult, and I never played it again. So I think I'll have to revisit it. That is something that I've been meaning to do. So we'll find out.
It is difficult.
Yes.
It's not so a maybe game. I think a game for little kids.
Maybe by this point, I could handle it. But going by the past 100 episodes, probably not. So number two, Ocarina of Time. Number three, maybe a little controversial, but I'm standing by it, is Skyward Sword. This is a very, 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 very good Zelda game.
You know, I played that one for a while. I just gave up when I was a dog for like 3 hours.
No, see, that's different. That's the next game, Twilight Princess.
Oh. Okay.
That's the one where you're a dog for too long. And that's why it's below Skyward Sword. Most people would say Twilight Princess is better. But you're stuck as a dog for large periods of that game, looking for little beetle things. And that part sucks. But the rest of the game is very good, but that's what brings it down. That's what brings it below Skyward Sword. Skyward Sword was the Wii exclusive. So below Twilight Princess at number 5 is Wind Waker, the GameCube game.
Yeah, I love that
one. The cel-shaded little baby game, as most people like to call it. But
they got
Wind Waker,
a lot of harsh critics at the time when it came out, but it's a top-tier Zelda game.
That was like the first like major butthurt game on the internet. It was incredible. Because we had Ocarina of Time, we had Majora's Mask, so those were realistic graphics at the time on the N64. So everyone's like, oh, GameCube, we can have such amazing graphics. And then they had that demo at E3 of the Zelda fighting Ganon.
Hyper-realistic.
Yeah, that's what set people off. Like, oh man, we're going to have such a cool Zelda game. Then they came out with Wind Waker, which is like a living cartoon.
Yeah.
And everyone freaked out.
My thing is that Zelda games should be a cartoon. It's not a hyper-realistic.
It's kind of the thing. Yeah, it's kind of the thing. And that's why everyone jizzes over Twilight Princess, because it's what everyone wanted Wind Waker to be. Because it came after Wind Waker. Anyway, so Wind Waker is number 5. Beautiful graphics, despite all the butthurt. It's an amazing looking game and very fun. So number 6, I'm going to say Majora's Mask, which is the pseudo sequel to Ocarina of Time, and it's also a sort of departure from the series in structure. There's a lot of time travel kind of stuff, where you're kind of replaying the same parts over and over again, but playing them in different ways. And it's a little hard to get used to, but it's still a very good game. After that, I have the 3DS game, Link Between Worlds, which is the sort of pseudo-sequel to Link to the Past, where it's using almost the same overworld map, but all the dungeons are different. And you also have a lot of different items that open up a lot of new possibilities. I liked it a lot.
Yeah, I need to play that one. That one's on my short list to get some.
Yeah, if you have a 3DS, definitely check it out. It's the only Game Boy one that I've beaten of these games. And it's really not a Game Boy game. It's pretty much just a Super Nintendo game. And the last one will be the OG Legend of Zelda.
Wow.
Sure.
That's harsh.
I mean, I don't think it's harsh.
That doesn't mean it's bad.
No, if you're putting it on a playability scale today, which game would you have the most fun playing? It's on the lower end, the original one.
I mean, it's definitely no
Zelda 2. You know, that'd be right there at the bottom for me. I
mean, it doesn't mean it's bad. Yeah, just that all the other ones are better.
I guess you're right. Like they haven't really had a clunker Zelda game unless you count the one Nintendo didn't make for the CDI.
A lot of people say Link's Adventure, number 2 is what, Link's Adventure? Is that what it's called?
I forget what it's called.
Yes, it is, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I've never played it, but a lot of people say it sucks. Which is sort of why I've avoided it.
You know, it's a fine game for its time, but it's also, like, it's not really a Zelda game. Like, it's
right.
It's kind of like a weird side scroller game in a way, and it's actually way more action oriented than the other ones. So, you know, it's interesting. It's interesting in the way, like, I don't know, Castlevania 2 is different from Castlevania 1. So,
okay. So yes, those are the official rankings that everyone agrees with.
Huel's Zelda Zeitgeist or something.
Mm. Mind you, these are not track tracks.
Oh, no. Of course not.
Please don't get them confused.
Yeah, actually, Zelda 2, looking at it now on game ranking, 78.1.
Like out of 100?
Yep. So, I don't know. I think it's tough, though. The there's only one review on here that reviewed it at the time it came out, and it's Famitsu, I believe. And they gave it a 36 out of 40.
I mean, for the time, I'm sure it was, you know, okay.
Yeah.
These things happen. Yeah.
Anyways. And I had so this week for comments, concerns, and questions, I had one thing. So in this new segment, listeners can provide the Sweet Baby Boys with comments, concerns, and questions about the game we're covering. It's a chance to share opinion in a safe space. If you'd like to contribute, shoot an email to parentsbasementpodcast@gmail.com or leave a comment on our Facebook page, Your Parents' Basement. If you could add any item to the original Legend of Zelda, what would it be and what purpose would it serve? My suggestion, a helmet which makes Link move at twice the speed, but he takes twice the damage. Sincerely, friend and guest of the podcast, Mike Deeney.
Interesting. So, yeah, going faster wouldn't be bad. Because they introduced that mechanic in Link to the Past with the Pegasus boots.
Oh, yeah. That made that game so much...
Yes.
Not better. Not fun, but better.
Because like with most Zelda games, there's a lot of backtracking. And that just made it more palatable. Mm-hmm. Although you didn't take twice the damage. That's an interesting trade-off. Mm-hmm. Man, to the original Zelda...
Well, it's tough because Zelda games, in a way, yeah, they're action games or adventure games. They're also puzzle games.
Oh yeah, heavy on the puzzle.
So Link to the Past has a couple items you don't need to beat the game, like the Bombos magic, and I think there's one other item that you don't really need. Oh, the cane of the blue cane, the one that just does like a little circle around you.
Yeah.
But everything else you pretty much need.
Right. Yeah, there's always a few items that are just kind of bonus or they help you.
Yeah.
But you don't need them. So yeah, that's a good point. Like every other game I think has a magic meter where there's certain items that use magic, but the first one didn't.
Yes.
So maybe something like that, there's like a magic meter element.
Mm-hmm.
With like fun items.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
Because all I can really think of is just like other Zelda games to add items to.
I'm going to pick the shotgun from Doom.
Oh, not a bad choice.
I will steal a game from an item from another Zelda game. The ocarina from.
Zelda 1 does have the flute.
Mm-hmm.
That looks like a recorder, kind of, or a flute. But I want that bird to come pick me up and transport me around places. From Link
that's
to the
That's Zelda 3.
Yeah, but that's an ocarina in that game, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Not the one from that N64 game you told me about earlier. I want the one.
Yeah, the one that you didn't know existed.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I want the one that the bird picks you up and carries you around.
So yeah, the bird's very useful.
Yeah, there's a lot of walking in this Zelda 1. A lot of walking. A
lot of walking.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Or maybe just like some sort of like magical shield, because the normal shield's kind of hard to finagle.
Oh, well, you can buy an upgrade, but then it goes away after a certain number of hits.
Right.
And it,
which
and
would
it
be fine.
And it costs like 100 bucks, 100 rupees. That's money, man.
Rupees, man.
can be using that to go buy myself a ring. So, all right. Well, I think that's all I had to say on the old review of Zelda here. Todd, do you have anything else to add?
Yeah. The two things, well, three things. I read a little tidbit that this, I don't know if this is true. Maybe you guys know, maybe you don't. The gold cartridge Zelda is the first cartridge game that has saving in it.
Yes, that is, I think, either legend or true, but that is also what I heard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, breaking the mold. No more passwords. Saving your state with a little battery pack in there.
Mm-hmm. Yep, definitely.
So nice work there,
good,
Nintendo.
Good little tad bit.
Yeah. Second thing is, there was not much controversy about it at the time, but the level 3 dungeon.
Ooh, yes.
A SWAT sticker, as some people say.
Yep.
Or a swastika, as other people say.
Oh, are you talking about the Manji?
The Manji.
Is that
yes.
what you're referring to?
The Manji, which is
yes.
The inverse SWAT sticker.
Yes, the good SWAT sticker.
Yeah.
Yeah, are you guys saying swastika or SWAT sticker?
You just said the same word both times.
Okay.
Not sure what you're talking about.
Good point.
Yeah, so that's right there in the manual too.
To come out in the modern times with all these trophy kids and their helicopter parents, then there'd be some hell raised about that
all
dungeon.
these special snowflakes.
Yeah. Last thing I have here is, I don't think we mentioned it, the second quest.
Oh yes. This has come up in the past.
If you beat the game, it lets you restart in the second quest. But the shortcut is to put in Zelda as your name when you're creating your character. The second quest is, it reorganizes the dungeons in the overworld. Like there's a dungeon one is in a different place. Is that right, fellas? And then the dungeon itself is different layout.
Yes, more difficult.
And it's more difficult. Now, what I read is that that was the original layout of the game, but that some programmer made, but Miyamoto didn't like it. So they said, let's have a do-over and make it a better way. But there's enough room, there's enough space in the memory to keep both versions in there. So they did. My thought has always been, how many kids, the first time they played this game,
exactly,
played the second quest, because they're like, when they pick up the cartridge, they're like, "What is this? Legend of Zelda? Okay, I guess my name's going to be Zelda." And then
Zelda, that's a cool name.
Second quest, and then they
just name my character that,
and they hate it because they just can't beat it because it's more difficult. They never played another Zelda game again
because it's that old hilarious trope. Where everyone thinks Link is Zelda, no one knows who Link is. Oh, this guy's Zelda. That's his weird. His name's Zelda. That's what's weird. Someone's like, I should be Zelda. So I'll type it in.
You joke now, but as a kid, I did. I did not realize that.
So you were a fool. That's probably why you hate the series, because you started it with the Zelda name, and then it was too hard for you.
Well, I did know that Link was Link and Zelda was Zelda because I did read the manual as a kid. It has the lush, the visual-filled manual, the story gets you
the compelling manual.
Impa is in this game too. Well, not in the game itself, but in the manual.
Right.
Zelda's helper Impa.
Impa's first appearance. Lady.
Her slave woman.
Mm-hmm. I don't know, she kind of disappears by the third game, though.
No, she's been in pretty much every one, in some capacity. Yeah. The latest one, which is Zelda's flying around on a hang glider, whatever that game's called.
Skyward Sword or Breath of the Wild?
Breath of the Wild.
Ah.
Impa is a village elder in one of the towns.
She's got a huge role in Ocarina of Time. Huge.
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 Good time.
So, yeah, that's pretty much it. That's Zelda in a nutshell.
Oh, fun. Well, all right. On that note, I think it's time to continue along in the show. Now that we're done reviewing Zelda, let's move on to the post-review section of the show. And joining us this week for the special 100th episode extravaganza is Cosmo, friend of the show.
Hello. Happy to be here. Happy 100.
Yeah. I mean, within our first five shows, you did a nice cameo. And why not run it back? So
there we go.
She also guested on the Atari double feature.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I'm almost famous, even.
I would say so. One of our more famous guests.
Yes. And here we are a podcast warehouse, not a podcast factory. So we're just gonna use the same ideas. so now, if I understand correctly, we're gonna start this week though with some voicemails. Is that correct, Todd?
That's right. We got some voicemails for the 100 spectacular,
star studded.
Here is the first one.
This Borat, I think your podcast very nice. 100 episode make me want to give you high five. My wife.
Wow. A celebrity appearance.
Yeah. I thought Sasha Baron Cohen retired that character.
Character? Clearly. This is a real person, a filmmaker, in fact, has now confirmed as a fan of your parents' basement.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent. Yeah.
Wow. That's incredible. Voicemail.
Fans everywhere. You guys have fans everywhere. You
across
never know.
The globe.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah.
From the top to the bottom. Mm. Fans of YPB.
Now,
good to hear.
Did he have a question, though?
No, he was just congratulating us on
100
episodes.
Well, I don't know if I care so much for that.
This is a special occasion. It's a special occasion.
Yeah, this is a special occasion. 100 only comes around every 100.
Or every once.
Right.
Otherwise, it's
100. 100 comes around every once.
Every... Precisely.
Yeah.
Steege. Loosen that tie. Unbutton those cufflinks.
There's no guarantee that we will even make it to 200 or 300s or 400s. So
well, that's why this one's even more special.
Don't sell yourself short. Set some goals high.
Meh.
You can do it. Reach for the stars.
Come on.
Come on.
Let's be realistic.
300 is doable.
Keep your feet on the ground, but reach for the stars.
That was a good one.
Yeah. Well, was there any other voicemails?
Yeah, there's another voicemail.
Excellent.
Yes. Hello. This is veteran character actor Paul Giamatti, and I just wanted to congratulate the Parents' Basement boys on their 100th episode. That is quite an accomplishment. I have not heard a single episode yet, but you know, my niece, she loves it. She loves those Nintendos. Once again, congratulations. This is Paul Giamatti signing out.
Wow, another huge celebrity.
Yeah.
Really do reach everyone. Amazing.
Not as big of a fan, but still incredible to hear from.
Wow, I can hear I could hear the flop sweat through the phone.
I mean, like, there's no... There's no doubt that was
insulting him. He called our show to congratulate us.
This is an Oscar-nominated actor.
Yet again, no question. And also, what's with that beep noise?
It's our answering machine.
I hope people like use the click-through link so that we can replace our 1983 answering machine.
I thought we were gonna use that money for a novelty answering machine message.
That would be meta if we used the money that we were getting from that to buy, you know, maybe we could get Paul Giamatti to leave the outgoing message.
Clearly he's not a fan, but at least knows who we are. Good start.
Well, that was fun. Let's move along to the email portion of the show.
Let's roll the emails.
Cosmo, did you get any emails?
Well, funnily enough, for the 100th episode, I did get an email. And I think you guys know who it's from. She begins, "Hi, boys. I heard it was your 100th episode, so I had to write in and say hello. My journey and search for enlightenment has been crazy since we last spoke. Among the things that have happened, I met and befriended a monkey. Fun until he started to outsmart me. Lived in a tent on a remote lake, surviving on nothing but fish and small rodents for 8 months. Escaped from a serial killer and got tummy tuck surgery, compliments of a rich oil baron. Partly, my search for enlightenment has led me to Southern California. I just know I'll find the right housing situation / person. Perhaps an older gentleman who's okay with weird stuff and can mentor me in the ways of life. A girl can hope. Hope you boys are well, and give my best to my old friend Scoots. I'll always think he's funky fresh.
Oh.
Heart, love, Cootie S 69. Slip of the tongue.
Yeah. Wow. Great to hear.
So, yeah. So she's, you know, doing all right in Southern California. We'll see what comes of her.
Seems to be looking for some sort of patronly figure to perhaps take her in.
I'm sure there's plenty of those types there.
It's got to be.
She could find.
Yeah.
It's got to be.
You know, the majority won't take advantage of her.
Right. It's all on the up and up, for sure. Mm-hmm.
Of course.
Well, I'm glad she escaped that serial killer. That drastic.
Lots of things happened to her. Monkey. Eating rodents.
Monkey was my favorite part.
I like how it started to outsmart her. Poor Cootie.
Oh, Cootie. Well, I guess she's always been a handful.
Is there any chance that, like, that was all just one individual, that it was a serial killer monkey that was also a rich oil baron?
That is very possible.
At least in her mind.
She doesn't seem to be too, too up on her survival skills, so maybe she ate some certain mushrooms that might have given her,
put it past her
a few ideas. Could have happened.
I wonder if the rich oil baron came by on a boat and picked her up on her remote lake.
Ooh, on a lake.
And forced her to get tummy tuck surgery because he didn't like her pooch.
Wow.
There's
a lot of possibilities. And maybe we'll hear from Cootie again.
Oh, yeah.
We can only hope. We can only hope. I wish her the best.
I think we all do.
No, I kind of just wish her kind of in the middle.
Oh.
Metza.
Yeah, now she's kind of, at a low point, so the middle is up for her. So yeah, maybe that's that. It's not a bad sentiment.
Set the bar low.
If you hear her email and think, man, her life is better than mine, you really need to reevaluate what's going on with your own life. So that's why I'm hoping she's a little bit in the middle for her.
Okay. Okay.
Okay. I'll give you that.
Okay.
Well, I wish her best on her journey.
In her world. Best in her terms. It's all relative.
Yes, yes. Well, Todd, did you get any emails?
I did, in fact, get an email. They write, "Hey, ya fellas.
Oh,
congrats on the big 100. Say, did you know my great-great-great-grandpappy started our family business more than 100 years ago? We made playing cards called Hanafuda cards, as they say. I bet you didn't know that. Your pal, Johnny Nintendo's. P.S. Who is your favorite Mario Kart racer?"
Oh.
I don't know if we've gotten an ask before.
Yeah, I'm surprised.
Johnny Nintendo's, wow.
We have not received this ask yet after 100 episodes.
From the famous Nintendo family.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The famed playing card magnates.
Yeah, first of all, I want to say, hey, Johnny Nintendo's. I mean, that's common knowledge at this point. We know that everybody knows that Nintendo made playing cards 100 years ago, and then they started making Nintendo's in the 80s, and the rest is history. So don't be so proud of yourself. You know what? My parents made dice out of the scalps of natives.
Scalps?
How about that, Johnny Nintendo's? Anyway, my favorite Mario Kart racer.
Hang on, your parents? So like 20 years ago, too. They were skinning Indians?
Their parents. And their parents. Come on, man. It's been passed down. Someday I'll teach my kids.
Just wondering.
Oh.
Yeah, I think that was illegal in the 1980s.
It should have been way before then.
No, yes.
Well, yeah, but it was definitely illegal in the 80s.
Well, yes.
I mean, definitely.
Murder is illegal.
Kind of.
Oh.
You know, hey, let's not judge my family here. Let's judge Johnny Nintendo's, okay? He's the one that brought it up.
No, he didn't.
Anyway. my favorite Mario Kart racer has to be Bowser.
Oh.
And I'm very surprised we have not received this question before.
That's a good point.
My famous is Samus Aran.
I don't know if you're thinking of the right game there.
No, definitely my favorite racer. Always. If you think differently, that's...
Hey, Seamus, let's race.
Fake racing.
Let's race. Is. Well, what my favorite would have to be Wario, because he's loud and obnoxious.
Oh.
Well, so, I identify.
Right. Hmm. Cosmo, do you have you ever played the Mario Karts? Or Mario?
Negative.
Oh.
But if you had to pick a favorite,
yeah. I would pick Mario.
Oh, you probably have a Tom Brady jersey too.
I do. Come on, why not? Probably nobody picks Mario, so I'll pick him. Everybody probably always picks the other people.
You know what?
He's probably always last.
It's not a bad point.
Yeah.
So there you go. Mm. That's my choice, and I'm sticking to it.
It's a good one.
That's right. The point is just settle.
Yeah. Oh, who's on the cover? I'll be them.
I've heard of Mario. I'll be him.
There's probably no girl characters, are there?
Oh, there's plenty.
Like who?
Princess Birdo. Peach, Birdo, Princess Daisy.
The other one.
Toad, I don't know. That thing's kind of androgynous.
There's Toadette. And,
Toadette.
Double Dash.
There's Wallace.
Kind of like that.
What? There's Luigi.
Yeah.
Hmm. I might have to change my thing to Toadette, just because that sounds cooler. Bet.
You know it's a girl because it's pink.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was picturing her as green, so you just ruined my head bubble of her.
Mm. Sorry.
Oh, well.
Nah. Huel, did you receive any mails?
I did. And this one might be hard to read, but here we go.
Okay.
Dear Your Parents' Basement Podcast, I know my son has been writing to you very frequently for the past couple of years, so I feel it is important to write you this message. He got into an altercation in the subway that left him with a severe hand injury. I think he told you about it. Due to his lifestyle choices, he was unable to seek treatment for this injury. It became severely infected, and my dear son is no longer with us. In other words, he's passed on.
Oh, what I'm trying, is that what it means?
What I'm trying to say is that he's dead.
Ah.
I was told his dying word was Huel, which I find disturbing. He's always been a troubled child, and I just hope he's found peace. He seemed to have found some kind of solace in this podcast of yours, whatever it's about. Anyway, who's your favorite Mario Kart racer? Cordially, Scooterbutt 41.
Oh, no.
This was Scooterbutt 41.
That's weird because we've never had that question never, before. After 100 episodes, we finally
a new
got
question.
It.
Wow, it's amazing.
It's weird.
I'm heartbroken.
Well, yeah. I hope Cody listens. Just for some closure.
Yeah.
Cody, it's almost like she knew. She said that she would always think he was funky fresh. It's like she knew. She had a premonition.
If only he could have heard it in
he
time.
He let his gangrenous hand get a little too funky.
It was funky and very not fresh, of all things.
That's a rough way to go.
Yeah. Yeah. He died as he lived. A crazy vagrant.
Urinating into a dumpster.
So, Todd, who's your favorite Mario Kart racer?
Great ask. You know, I've analyzed this question for years. And I'm glad we finally get to answer it, because my answer is going to be Waluigi.
Ooh.
My favorite Mario Kart racer.
The greatest.
Like Luigi, but purple.
The greatest unnecessary character ever made.
My favorite is Jeff Gordon.
Oh, ooh. Yeah.
He's very good.
Yeah, and the old Tide.
Number 23.
Mm. And the old Tide cart.
Yeah. The famous Tide car.
Yep.
Mine would have to be Wario, because he's a fat asshole. So, I identify with that.
Literally and figuratively, you identify with it.
Do you have a mustache?
I'm working on it.
Okay.
For about 14 years. Cosmo, any favorite racers?
I'm gonna go with Toadette on this one.
The female toad.
Yes, because she's pink. So I'm going with that.
A rare choice.
Yeah,
it's solid.
That's a good one. Well,
I hope we can all move on from that email. I'm sorry that I felt it needed to be read.
Yeah, you're gonna maybe how are you gonna grieve Huel? Maybe do something he would have done. Like, you know, squat in a Taco Bell bathroom or.
Well, I did receive this earlier today, so I've already bought some candles. I have them going now. And I'm going to cook the half eaten Whopper I found in the alley over top of them.
Oh, sounds good.
Yeah. As a tribute.
I hope you get it.
What's that?
Whoa.
Whoa, sneezing fit.
Sorry.
She's allergic to emotional moments.
We're both in the office. I'm sorry.
We all grieve in our own ways.
It's okay. I just hope you get his bindle in like the stick it goes on.
I think he's like going to be I think he's going to be buried with it.
Oh, yes. Too bad. What about the tattered top hat? With like the hole in it? That too.
We'll just have to wait for his will. I couldn't possibly barge in like that. So.
Oh, too bad. I'll go quickly here. I got three because a big show.
Wow.
Dearest Sweet Boys, congratulations on 100 sods. Just look at how far you've come over 2 short years. You've gone from getting letters from Scooterbutt to then getting letters from his Scooterbutt Senior and some from Butterscoot, but also still getting letters from Scooterbutt. Hmm. You guys have really had quite a journey. Recently, you've even been getting attention from the heavy-hitting Jimmies of the gaming industry, be it Blizzard or Nintendo's. And I couldn't be prouder. My ask is that you cover in a future episode the worst game of all time, as ranked by Nintendo Power in their 100th issue. That game is Bebe's Kids.
Oh, no!
We gotta watch the movie first, though.
Oh, no!
That is the only game they ever scored a perfect zero. Thanks for the good times, fellows. Hawk.
Oh, man.
Nice. Hawk. Very nice.
Friend of the show, Hawk. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. That's a solid choice. It has been mentioned in the past. Mm-hmm. I think it's going to have to happen.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we do normally alternate good games with horrible games. So, yeah.
Yeah. Fit the pattern.
Yep. So, second one. Early congrats on 100 episodes, guys. I was going to celebrate by using your click-through link to order Pop-Tarts, but they are ridiculously overpriced there, and the cheaper ones are exclusive for Prime members only. So I use your link to order a game instead. Cheers. Best wishes, Dale. And,
sweet.
We just like to... He didn't say what game it is, but we can only assume that it was probably Bebe's Kids.
It has to be, yeah.
So,
well, yeah, Dale's a big fan. So he has to buy his third copy.
Yep. Or
thank you,
food.
Dale. Yeah. And Dale, might I suggest pony up for that Prime membership?
Oh,
it's worth it.
Looky, you a high roller here.
Hey, now.
I have $98 of disposable income.
Per year.
What? One last one. Guys, congrats so much on the 100th episode. I've been with you since the beginning, and I'll listen to everything until the bitter end. That's the kind of love and commitment I have with everything. Also, what's your favorite football game? Best of luck, O.J. Simpson.
Oh! Another multi-time writer. O.J.
Yeah, he Orenthal. Wrote it before. Yeah.
Orenthal. Does he mean football video game? Or like... NFL game that happened ever, or
I'm assuming he means like football video game and not like the Iron Bowl or something.
Mm.
that time he ran over a UCLA defender, that was my favorite game.
Man, I have to go with the Boise State Oklahoma game. that one that was really good.
Yeah, yeah.
From like 2007?
Yeah, where that guy, they did that trick play and they won. And then that
2 trick plays.
Yeah, and then that guy proposed to his girlfriend. And she said yes.
Yeah. And I'm sure they're still together. But as for video games. Sorry.
You know what? They are because they get trotted out every bowl season.
Oh, like, good point. Yeah.
So it's like, oh,
in the stands.
Remember when? So,
I'm gonna go with NFL Blitz.
Oh,
that was a fun
solid
time.
Choice. Solid.
Going thinking choice. Outside the box.
Mm-hmm. I'm gonna think outside of the box. That was gonna be my pick. You know, I'm not a fan, guys.
Scooped
if 100 episodes have proven anything, I'm not that big a fan of the sporting games. I like the sportings. I don't like the sporting games.
Okay.
I'm gonna go with Blood Bowl.
Ooh,
or Blood Bowl 2. The Warhammer.
Warhammer
fantasy football.
The Warhammer football games.
Yeah, pretty much is.
Good choice. No, it exactly is what it is.
Well, I don't know. My favorite is probably Tecmo Super Bowl.
Ugh, what a basic bitch.
God.
The claws came out.
Rare.
We might not make it to 101. But we probably will. Listen, what else are we going to do?
Spend
time with our families?
No.
All right. Let's move along, though, to something Todd has prepared, I believe. Get some asks there?
Oh, asks, yes. We do have some asks this week.
Oh.
And so let us ask the sweet boys.
Okay.
If you have any questions about life, sex, love, relationships, or any other subject that has been troubling you, then please write in to us at parentsbasementpodcast@gmail.com with the subject ask followed by your question. Remember, we will always keep your questions anonymous unless otherwise requested. And I'm glad we got Cosmo on because we have a question here that a female might help out with. Oh. It's from Anonymous, and they write, do girls wear bra even when they sleep? And what is it like to wear bra? I am sure it would feel great to wear such a nice, sexy garment.
Huh.
No.
Is that the ask? Wow, no wonder they want to be anonymous.
Oh, my. No. Bras are awful. Don't wear them to bed. Don't wear them unless you're going out. Unless you have to. That's my advice. Who wants to wear a bra in bed?
I certainly don't.
Not me.
Yeah. I never do.
Hmm. Maybe it's cold.
If it's cold and you put some heat packs in there, that might make you comfortable.
Oh, some hot water bottles?
Yeah, hot water bottles. Yeah.
No,
strap a few of them on, you know, not just one. Put them all over your
body. Yeah, you know, like buy a few cups up and put some hot water bottles in there. And be nice and cozy. Mm-hmm. I mean, it could be a dude writer, just curious, just wondering. How does the female form operate?
Now she feels
what is it like?
Does she want to feel sexy? Is that what she mentioned?
Well, they don't see if they're a girl or a boy.
It's completely anonymous.
You got a pepe or a
or a hoo-hoo.
Hoo-hoo, yeah.
Pee-pee or hoo-hoo.
I was looking at it as if this was a woman. But maybe it's a man?
Well, that's just because of your matriarchal worldview.
I'm sure he or she writes, I'm sure it would feel great to wear such a nice, sexy garment.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
No woman would write that. Yeah.
I'm sure it would feel great.
I don't know if you...
The guy that wants to try on women's clothing, maybe that's what that is.
Ooh. We can't know because all of these people are always anonymous. So
anonymous, I know.
Unless otherwise requested, and this one did not request.
No. Well, if you can write in and give us more information, maybe we can help better. How about that?
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is
write in next week.
This obviously isn't a life or death thing,
and it's not going to be solved tonight.
Yeah.
But I think your resounding answer was no.
No, zero bras, whether you're a man or a woman. They're not comfortable.
I've seen some guys that might need them.
A bro?
Yes.
A man's, man's ear. Ear?
Yes, the man's ear.
Yeah.
Well, you know, some of them are comfortable if they don't have, like, not really a bra, but like more of the sleep tops that are, that they don't have any wires, or they're just more like a tank top that's more like a non-bra.
Or just like a few rounds of Saran wrap, something like that. Probably better.
It's, I guess it's the wires and the tight things that are the worst part of a bra.
Yeah, sounds awful.
Yes, it's terrible. See what the patriarchy has done?
Nah.
Meh.
You can easily do whatever you want. That's what I've been taught.
Yeah. You know, burn the bra. I'll burn mine.
I think
we answered her question.
Yeah, yeah. We really helped that person.
Mm-hmm. As always.
Yeah. Well, we're going to sign off for now. Todd, was there anything else you wanted to say before we left for the night?
Yeah, like my old man used to say, some advice he used to give me, show this to the old woman.
Mm. Wow.
Oh, my.
Oh, boy. Huel, how about you? Anything you want to add?
I usually like to end with some life advice I find from these games. And I just like to say, find the map. It's much more accurate.
Oh.
Deep.
Good advice.
Mm. Yeah. Cosmo, thanks so much for joining us on the back nine of this one. Was there anything you wanted to say?
No, thank you for having me, and congratulations on your 100 episodes.
Mm-hmm. Thanks. Oh, yeah.
You're welcome. Yeah, I'm your biggest fan, by the way. Me and the Golden State Warriors, apparently.
Well, yeah, we learned last week that they play us in the locker room. Pumps them up.
Yeah. Big surprise.
Yep. Really helps.
Mm-hmm. All right, on that note, here's a little snifferoo from next week's game.
I see you got a weight problem. Can't wait to eat.
It started in the mind of an offbeat comedian.
We baby kids. We don't die, we...
It grew into the animated world of Bebe's Kids.
I knew she was trouble. I should have known her when I met her. It was at a funeral.
Who's that girl in that black dress?
She's so fine, make me want to get a job.
She told me, she said, if you want to get acquainted with me and my son,
you should take us somewhere like Fun World.
Fun World? So I goes to pick her up the next day. She got three more kids with her.
Paramount Pictures presents Bebe's Kids.
Those aren't double knit pants, are they? Try to bring it back, huh?
Please familiarize and observe the rules while in Fun World. No running. No jumping. No yelling. That means you enjoy your stick.
Bebe's Kids.
We don't die. We multiply.
They're all energy. They're all attitude.
It ain't time to go. You trying to leave us?
And for the next 12 hours, they're all Robins.
I thought the devil was cool when they made Rosemary's Babies. But oh no, now we got
Baby Kid!
It's animation